It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Doors by Golden Bridge.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
No actual basketball to report on in today's podcast, and for some very damn good reasons. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of clutchcitycontrolroom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at clutchcitycr. So, like everybody else today, I woke up ready for some more NBA playoff basketball, and we didn't get that today as the Milwaukee Bucks decided to go on strike. And I say on strike because they did go on strike. They're not boycotting. That term is being thrown around and it's the incorrect term. They're on strike because they're withholding labor because of the Jacob Blake incident in which he was shot not once, not twice, but seven times in his back by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And this is just another in the long line of police brutality moments in American history. And this, after just 2 short months ago, George Floyd, streets across America with protests in support of Black Lives Matter and all of this. And this is what the players are worried about going into the NBA bubble, was losing their voices, losing, you know, the focus on this movement. And I think that this stance by the Bucks was powerful. I'm 100% in support of it, for them to come out and say, no, we are not playing. And then for the other NBA players that had games slated to follow suit in solidarity, the Orlando Magic agreeing to go on strike and forfeit their game as well. And then the Thunder and the Rockets as well. Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook meeting just before the game, about an hour before tip-off, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook deciding, I'm assuming, to have that conversation and decide that they were also going to not play out of solidarity. And then likewise, the Portland Trailblazers and LA Lakers also following suit. So no NBA games, no WNBA games either. Just across the board, you know, a show of solidarity amongst all these athletes to highlight this message that what's going on is not okay. I will leave you with a brief basketball thought, not to take away from everything else that I've already said, but Russell Westbrook, who in the video, as shown on my Twitter feed and in pictures, having that discussion with Chris Paul, was absolutely suited up and ready to play, which leads me to believe that the Rockets were going to announce him as playable for Game 5, which means that if playoff basketball is to return, I would lean in favor of Russell Westbrook more than likely playing in whatever games look like when these protests are complete, if they are become complete, if we get playoff basketball back, which a lot of this is up in the air currently, and it all depends on what direction the players would like to go with their stance. And I am in full support of if they want to come back and continue playing, or if they decide that suspending play altogether is the best thing to continue advocating for social justice and to seek adequate change in society. Back when the George Floyd protests first started in June, you know, I had this unique position to have this platform, this podcast, discussing Houston Rockets basketball. And, you know, when the NBA, a league that is predominantly Black athletes, you know, suddenly everybody starts participating in these social justice movements, you know, I needed to highlight it. And likewise, today, this is exactly what we're focusing on. We're focusing on the messages from the players, the messages from the fans, the messages from your fellow man, and how it feels to be in this day and age in this country and to still, you know, worry for your life as a black man or a black woman. And I would like to highlight a message from a good friend of mine, you know, a friend of the podcast, a friend of the show, Jamarco, who's one of the few rational Russell Westbrook stands on Twitter. So, you know, shout out to Jamarco at Always and Forever Art on Twitter. But, you know, to highlight how he feels about everything going on. He says, it's really simple. Let me help you out here. You see a cop, you feel safer. I see a cop, I feel instant fear. You see a cop, you think hero. I see a cop, I see potential murderer. You see a cop, you think help is here. I see a cop, and I start looking for witnesses to help me out. As a white man, I cannot imagine what that must feel like to walk those steps, you know, every day, to be in a position where you would have to worry for your life from the people that are supposed to be enlisted to protect you in this country. And that's what we're going to hear about from these players and coaches as we run back some of the audio from the Inside the NBA crew, which did a phenomenal job. Kenny the Jet Smith walked off the set of Inside the NBA, said that he feels that as a former player and as a black man, it is his job to show, you know, to follow suit in solidarity with the players and to just not be there. And he walked off the set of Inside the NBA. And Ernie, Charles, Shaq continued the conversation with Chris B. Haynes, who is on the floor from Yahoo Sports, on the floor in Orlando, doing a beautiful job covering everything going on. But we'll also hear from Doc Rivers and Chris Webber and our very own Robert Covington. And we'll also hear the direct message from the Milwaukee Bucks and their statement as to why they decided to protest and why they are going on strike. And again, it is on strike. It's not a boycott. A boycott is when you choose not to give a company or an organization your hard-earned money out of protest for that product. This is different. They are on strike because they are the labor force for the NBA, and they are withholding their labor because they would like to highlight this issue plaguing the United States of America, of racial injustice, of systemic racism across the nation, especially within the police departments and the continued police brutality of black American citizens. So we will hear all those messages coming up in just a moment after a quick word from our friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is basically impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why would you want to endure the often pointless and sometimes even intimidating questioning like, what type of brand is your car? Is it an LX or an EX? And then you have to wait while the person goes behind the counter to order the parts that their warehouse just so happens to carry. Look, rockauto.com is a family business, and they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything, and I mean everything, that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the exact same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why? Why would you want to spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? So be sure to go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Discussing some hard-hitting topics here, and I'm not going to spend the rest of this podcast talking. It's not my place to do so, but I want to go ahead and share the Inside the NBA audio and the words, you know, the reporting from Chris Haynes, who is on the ground in the NBA bubble right now.
To take us through an unprecedented day, Chris.
Well, it's been a long day in such a short time, if that makes any sense. Obviously, guys, I reported this morning that meetings were had last night between players from the Raptors, players from the Celtics, and a few others, along with Andre Iguodala and Chris Paul. Players were stressing to them just how unfit they didn't feel in going out there and playing. Some players relayed that they just felt like they weren't in the right frame of mind with everything that's going on, particularly the latest unarmed African-American man shooting in Wisconsin there. And so I think most people were caught off guard. I'm talking about executives. I'm talking about coaches. Most were caught off guard. Even some of the coaches from the Orlando Magic, they did not know this was going to happen. And I want to say this as well. And so as the day approached, as the games were getting close to being tipped off, all three teams that were supposed to play today were in agreement that they would be postponed. But they wanted to make that announcement together. The Milwaukee Bucks kind of shuttered that by, you know, doing what they did. And so there was a little bit confusion there. But overall, everybody was in agreement that they need to come out here and make a statement because guys are frustrated. They don't necessarily know what to do or how they're going to enact change, but they felt like just coming out here and continually to play, that was sending the wrong message, that entertainment is above the lives that are being lost in the Black community out there.
Chris, let me ask you this, because this is the question that that Charles and Shaq and I have all had, is next steps on this. Is this a one-game boycott by each of the teams still in the playoffs, or what is the long-range plan?
So there is a meeting tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time. All players that are on campus have been allowed to come to this meeting. And from there, they're going to go in and express their concerns and talk about what they want to do moving forward. And so there are some players who want to go home now, but there are a sizable amount of players that I spoke to that felt like we're already here. There was a lot of sacrifices taken to get to this point. Why not let's finish it out and use this NBA platform to still raise awareness? And so you have a bunch of players, you know, with mixed emotions and different viewpoints. And so this meeting, I would expect it to probably go a pretty good distance in time, because a lot of players, their emotions are raw. Like, they're frustrated, they're traumatized. You know, I've been asking if players have been going out and getting counseling, and some players have told me, look, you know, I just don't trust that right now. You know, I just, you know, that's not the way I deal with it. So, you know, there's a lot of guys just going through different things, a different array of emotions, and they just feel like coming out here and playing is just not doing justice right now. And that was what they feared. And I wouldn't say this too, I don't want to be too long-winded, but I want to mention this, is that before players got out here, the plan was to have weekly meetings to try to figure out what is the best way moving forward to try to enact change. But then, as you guys know, there's games every day, there's practices every day, and so that has kind of been muffled. And so players want to make sure right now they don't lose time and make sure they do something that's impactful. So a lot is going to come out of this meeting tonight.
You know, Chris, it really puts the players tomorrow in an awkward situation if they play. So do you think the games tomorrow are going to be canceled also?
I would say this. I think, Charles, not that I know for sure as of right now, but this meeting tonight will take care of what happens tomorrow. I think the players are going to be on a united front and whatever they decide to do. Now, obviously, you know, I want to keep this in mind. Players who have been feeling uneasy about being here, they've always had the freedom to leave. Like, they weren't being held hostage. So they could leave at any time, and that's still the case. And so tonight, a lot is going to come out as far as what they plan to do moving forward. There's a lot of guys who feel like, look, how is it benefiting the Black community if we don't play and we lose paychecks? That's taking money out of our pockets, and that's not going to allow us to put that money back into the Black community. And so there's a lot of players who feel that way. And like you said, there's a lot of players, other players feel like they can be doing more grassroots work being outside the bubble. So those are kind of conversations that's going to be had tonight.
Chris, has there been any talk about taking a bigger stand, such as canceling the season? Because right now we're just talking about postponement stages. Has there been any talk from, you know, any of the top NBA guys of just about going home?
Most definitely, Shaq. I can't say that I've heard that from the top players, like when they're talking about the top 10 type players in this league. But definitely there is a lot of players who do feel like we should be ending this and going home. Now, the thing is, I don't know necessarily that there's going to be a bunch of group of players that just leave independently. I think it's going to take guys coming together and be united and figuring out what they're going to do from here. And I will say this, and I said it before, but I need to harp on it again, is that, like I said, there's a sizable group of guys who feel like We made a ton of sacrifices to get to this point. There are families that are here right now going through quarantine that will be cleared next week. So they're feeling like we got here, we got to this point. Let's finish it out and try to use this platform to best of my ability. So if you're asking me now, Shaq, what I think is going to happen, I would lean more towards saying that I would think that they will continue this thing moving forward. But they want to make sure they're doing something a little bit more impactful than what they were before.
Chris Haynes, your work in Orlando has been exceptional, and we appreciate you having the day down there covered the way you have today. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Y'all take care.
That's going to do it for the Inside the NBA clip. Great reporting by Chris Haynes on a very, you know, just a completely unprecedented day in sports history. And, you know, I thought it was unprecedented having a basketball bubble. But, you know, kudos to these players for doing what they believe needs to be done. And I forgot to mention it earlier, we'll also hear the actual statement from the Milwaukee Bucks. So coming up in this final segment, we'll run back those specific audio clips here in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, as we get ready to run back audio from Doc Rivers, Chris Webber, Robert Covington, and the Milwaukee Bucks themselves, actually, as they issue their statement and their reasoning behind protesting this game by not taking part in Game 5 of their NBA playoff series against the Orlando Magic in the wake of the Jacob Blake incident and just everything going on right now. So I'm going to go ahead and run those clips back in that specific order, and that is going to wrap it up for today's podcast. So again, I urge you, I implore you to listen to these people, to listen to these players, these human beings, to listen to your fellow man and their voices and hear the pain and the frustration in what they have to say.
It's just so sad. You know, what stands out to me is just watching the Republican convention, and they're spewing this fear, right? Like, all you hear is Donald Trump and all of them talking about fear. We're the ones getting killed. We're the ones getting shot. We're the ones that we're denied to live in certain communities. We've been hung. We've been shot. And all you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. And it's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color. You know, it's just really sad. We got to do better. But we got to demand better. Like, we got, you know, it's funny. We protest and they send riot guards, right? They send people in riot outfits. They go to Michigan with guns and they're spitting on cops and nothing happens. The training has to change in the police force. The unions have to be taken down in the police force. My dad was a cop. I believe in good cops. We're not trying to defund the police and take all their money away. We're trying to get them to protect us, just like they protect everybody else. I didn't want to talk about it before the game, because it's so hard, like, to just keep watching it. That video, if you watch that video, you don't need to be black to be outraged. You need to be American and outraged. And how dare the Republicans talk about fear? We're the ones that need to be scared. We're the ones having to talk to every black child. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous. And it just keeps going. There's no charges. Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone. Thank you.
Here's what Chris Webber had to say.
No change tomorrow. We know vote. We keep hearing vote. Everybody vote. But I'm here to speak for those that are always marginalized. Those that live in these neighborhoods where we preach and tell them to vote and walk away. Charles Barkley came to my high school. Just seeing him in the locker room, seeing his hands and his body, that inspired me. You can't see something. You can't be something till you see it. And when I tell you the little kids that have called me upset, I have a godson that has autism, and I just had to explain to him why we aren't playing. I have young nephews that I've had to talk to about death before they've even seen it in a movie. If not now, when? If not during a pandemic and countless lives being lost, if not now, when? That's all I just want to hear from the rest of the night while everybody's pontificating and thinking and soapboxing and all of that. We know nothing is going to change. We get it. If Martin Luther King got shot and risked his life, Medgar Evers, if we've seen this and all of our heroes constantly taken down, we understand it's not going to end. But that does not mean, young men, that you don't do anything. Don't listen to these people telling you don't do anything because it's not going to end right away. You are starting something for the next generation and the next generation to take over. Do you have to be smart? Yes. Do you have to make sure that you have a plan? Yes. Do you have to be articulate about that plan? Yes. All of those things. But that's what you're going to do. They're professionals. They know how to be the best of themselves. And so I applaud it. I applaud it because it is the young people. It is the young people leading the way. And I applaud them.
Here is Robert Covington and his thoughts.
Robert, the NBA has taken a very proactive approach as far as social injustice is concerned. You know, you all have Black Lives Matter on the court. You all have the messages on the back of your jerseys. But how does it feel, or what do you all talk about when you see something that has happened in Wisconsin, another unarmed African-American male shot by police officers?
You know, we are doing all this to, you know, really, you know, bring about awareness, and, you know, it's not too much that's been done. Every day we fear, you know, going outside, friends, family, never know, you know, you might get a phone call that said that, you know, someone that's close to you, you know, might not make it to see you the next day. And, you know, it's a scary sight to, you know, be having that feeling, you know, growing up in this world right now, because, like you said, it's not nothing being done for it. I heard y'all make the comment earlier about, you know, Breonna Taylor, they still have yet to do anything about her and, you know, the cops that killed her. And, you know, it's an ongoing fight. We've been, you know, advocates about this for the longest. And, you know, like I said, it's just people they're not taking the initiative, not taking the approach, and they fully should. And, you know, like I said, we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep, you know, we're not going to stay silent. We're not going to, you know, stop. We're going to keep pushing, and we're going to keep moving forward to, you know, keep bringing awareness. And, you know, me and our brotherhood, you know, we're going to do everything in our power to, you know, not let this thing die down, because this is a worldwide epidemic. You know, racism is heavily, and, you know, over the course of the last few years, things have been more, you know, prominent. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's being shown a lot, and, you know, the police brutality and stuff has always been there, but now we're actually standing up and fighting for it as our ancestors did, because it's hard. You know, like I said, you know, I'm afraid for my brothers, you know, my sisters, you know, my future children, you know, if things don't change, like, how do you sit up and have these conversations to prepare your children about, you know, what could potentially happen in the world and how to address it and not, you know, be walking around in fear? Because, you know, like I said, you social media, you have access to it so much, and all this stuff is being video recorded and nothing's being done about it. So how do you think it's going to make people feel? That's one thing that's the scariest thing to think about when it comes to this.
Here is the statement issued by the entire Milwaukee Bucks basketball team.
Thank you guys for taking upon your time to stay here with us. We're sorry that it took a little bit more time, but we thought it would be best for us as a team to brainstorm a little bit, educate ourselves, and not rush into having raw emotion, giving you guys things like that. So on behalf of ourselves and our team, we're going to place a statement as a team today and go back and continue to educate ourselves and get better awareness of what's going on, and then speak to you guys later. So we'll come up with a statement now.
Our team statement, the past 4 months have shed a light on the ongoing racial injustices facing our African-American community. Citizens around the country have used their voices and platforms to speak out against these wrongdoings. Over the last few days in our home state of Wisconsin, we've seen the horrendous video of Jacob Blake being shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha, and the additional shooting of protesters. Despite the overwhelming plea for change, there has been no action. So our focus today cannot be on basketball.
When we take the court and represent Milwaukee and Wisconsin, we are expected to play at a high level, give maximum effort, and hold each other accountable. We hold ourselves to that standard, and in this moment, we are demanding the same from lawmakers and law enforcement. We are calling for justice for Jacob Blake and demand the officers be held accountable. For this to occur, it is imperative for the Wisconsin State Legislature to reconvene after months of inaction and take up meaningful measures to address issues of police accountability, brutality, and criminal justice reform. We encourage all citizens to educate themselves, take peaceful and responsible action, and remember to vote on November 3rd on behalf of the Milwaukee Bucks.
I hope, I sincerely hope that some of these messages have helped open your eyes, or your ears, I guess, in this instance, to some of what's going on and just exactly how these players and coaches feel and why they're using this platform, why they are going on strike, why they are refusing to play, you know, because they want their voices heard. They want change, and they're doing what I believe is the right thing to do by using their platform, by shining a light on the injustices in this country, and I commend them for doing so. So for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.